Well, welcome. We are at the Down Syndrome Affiliates in Action Conference in Denver, Colorado. DSAI 2018 and its second day, and we just finished our morning general session. One of our speakers this morning was Patty Saylor, and so I've got her to sit down with me. You'll excuse my voice. I will try to let Patty talk way more than I. Patty, such a powerful presentation this morning. I think everyone came away with maybe just a little more emphasis on, I think people have heard the story, or they've heard people talk about Ethan, but hearing you talk, I think it just really makes a big impact on us as leaders, and we really start to understand that we have so far to go, so that nothing like that happens. And you used a line in there out of the proclamation that the governor did, but also that you wanted, you know, that every person with a disability should feel included and safe in their community. And I think that we all, of course we want that, but the way that you put it today was just beautifully, you know, it's very compact. It's really what we need to think about. It's so simple. So since Ethan's death, there's been a lot of progress. And I would like you to tell us today, like, what has happened since the incident.
Okay, so since his death, he died in January, 5 years ago. So March of that year, a few activists and advocates in Maryland got together and called it a restraint group. We got to talk about the restraint and getting rid of restraint. Well, it turned out to be Ethan's Law Work Group, and they it was, you know, people, self advocates with just, you know, that were activists and my friends, because I work in the community, right? And they came out with three non-negotiables. Whatever is done with law enforcement needs to be mandated, needs to be cross-disability, and must be led by individuals with disabilities. This effort, right. This grassroots efforts must be led by people that experience this life and have this fear. Doesn't mean that family's not involved or others are not involved, but we should not discount people with disabilities having the voice. So following that, you know, there was a real grassroots effort in Maryland and across the country, and, you know, we had the change.org petition my daughter started that garnered on 500,000 signatures. We petitioned those to the governor. We delivered them to the governor of Maryland. He wrote the executive order, which established the Commission for the Effective Community Inclusion for People with ID and DD. So it was specifically an intellectual and developmental disability because right. It was because of Ethan,
right.
Not to discount other disabilities. Yeah, and then the commission worked for 2 years under the leadership of Tim Shriver, and they did a lot of work. It was not a commission in name only. People worked. There was high motivation, high desire for change, and coming out of the commission is where the vision statement. Now, the vision statement can be read on the Maryland Department of Disability website. There's a tab there that is the Ethan Saylor Alliance. So we have a Department of Disability. They aren't the folks that do services. We're the only state in the country that has a Department of Disability.
Really?
Yes, we are, truly. It is not the same disability organization state.
Right.
We have that too, that
yes,
does services.
But a separate
Department of Disability, and on there, and that is where the Ethan Saylor Alliance is housed in state government. So the vision statement can be found there. Some of the history of our work can be found there. And in the vision statement that the commission came up with, we determined that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities want to feel safe and included contributing members. So people want to be safe, included, accepted in their communities.
Right.
And we have to have safety before we have anything else.
Because if you don't feel safe,
right.
You won't really be in the community.
Exactly.
You won't want to be.
So we do now have mandated training in Maryland, but the law enforcement hierarchy, and every state is going to have a law enforcement hierarchy, there is going to be a training entity in the state that sets the training requirements for all law enforcement officers of that state. It's going to be named something different in each state.
Right.
Ours is the Police Training Commission.
So sorry, evidently lunch is coming. We're very late. Okay. So we're live.
I know, that's what happens. So every state is going to have this organization on a state level that sets the standards for training and the requirements for all law enforcement and probably corrections officers. We work directly with that organization, and they ask us not to go the legislative route. And we had built such trust through this work on the commission that we were willing to trust them that they would, in fact, regulate this.
Right.
And they did. So they passed... they adopted 18 training objectives specific to training officers about interacting with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So that became mandated for them. If it's in their training objectives, it is in fact mandated without us having to have a law to make that happen. So it's a regulation, you know, through their own regulatory body, through collaboration, through building trust between the disability community and the law enforcement community, following this track. So then we did have some legislation passed at the same time coming out of the commission. And this is a nuance that's difficult for people to understand. But what we came forth with from the commission was that while we want people with disabilities to take a leadership role in training, where are they? And are they prepared?
Right.
So how are we going to build the capacity of individuals with an intellectual disability of any kind to be this co-trainer? So the legislation established the Ethan Saylor Alliance for Self-Advocates. That's the best language we can come up with in the day and time.
Right.
We debate about the words self-advocacy and stuff, but the best that we could come up with at the time, it's an entity of state government that exists to train individuals that have an intellectual disability or developmental disability who want to go into this kind of work, that want to be a trainer, a teacher,
right?
You know, so that they would not only be able to train law enforcement, but transportation people, businesses. So they will gain skills to be presenters. They will be trained in the content. In this case, it's still law enforcement at this
right.
point in time. They will be provided the supports, and they will be paid. It is paid employment to become a professional trainer. And so we wanted to come beyond the model that exists now, where a content specialist, a disability specialist,
right.
stands in front of an audience and tells people about people with disabilities,
right.
and occasionally brings in a person with a disability to show and tell their story. Well, that was great for the past 20 years. We're beyond that now. The person with that is experiencing this life, who has this disability, should be leading, and we should be their support for them to lead. And that's a strong belief from the commission and the Ethan Law Work Group and our family, that we need to unleash the power of the person that has the disability. Now, of course, will they need supports and training and practice and, you know, script practice? And of course they will,
right,
to some degree. But that's what the Ethan Saylor Alliance exists for, to train and support and pay individuals to be professional trainers.
That is amazing. That's great. There's so much progress in just 5 years. And I think we all felt right after that we were so outraged and we wanted something immediate. And, you know, knowing now, I mean, like I said, we all wanted something immediate. We didn't feel like things were really happening or whatever. You get discouraged. But now, 5 years in, looking back at the progress that has been made, it does make us hopeful.
I think there's reason to be hopeful, but we need to take action. And when I talk to anybody about this, we can take action on a one-to-one basis. Meet an officer. Introduce your child. You have the young adult introduce themselves. Get to strike up a relationship. Visit regularly with the law enforcement in your town. Or organizations can have a strategic plan that includes a more systemic change that they'd like to do. So their change can be, you know, one at a time, or it can be a system.
Yeah.
So not everyone has to embark on a great systems change effort from their organization. So here at DSAIA, we're talking about organizational structures
right.
and strategic planning. And so organizations can simply support families to make personal safety plans and come to know officers in their town and firefighters in their town. And the organization could take on some systemic change as
exactly.
well as part of their goals, and anything in between.
Well, you know, you may not can change the world, but you can change your little part of it. And I think that's where groups, our organizations, our members can really, you think about, we have over 84 members, organizations across the United States. And if all of them would start to consider that and put even a step by step, even by, you know, maybe hosting something. I know that in Bismarck, where I lived, they just had a meet the policeman coffee. Mm-hmm. So they had policemen come in and families come in, and they sat and they talked and had coffee and got to meet. Even those little steps can lead to something else. But I think you start that way.
Sure.
And we'll be talking about later on. I'm going to talk to Travis Aiken and talk about the program, the Going Through Opportunity Cadet program, which is one thing, a more involved, you know, mm-hmm. answer to that. But I agree. It's just, you just have to start. You just have to start.
We do have one caution for people, and it's been born out of our experience for the last couple of years. If you're going to do any kind of training, you need to absolutely make sure that you are leaving them with the picture that you want them to have of a person with a disability, Down syndrome specifically. You need to watch your language. You need to know, you need to really intentionally share what you want them to have in their minds when they're finished being with you. Nice. I have heard and witnessed a lot of bad training that reinforced stereotypes, the very ones we want to get rid of.
Right.
And so any training effort, any delivery of information really needs to be thought through. You can't just show up and tell them everything you know, like when, and because we love our children and we love people with Down syndrome, we may not use quite the right language. Think of it as painting the picture that you want them to have of an individual with Down syndrome, not what you feel like you need to just blubber out to them,
right?
So it needs to be intentional in what you're leaving them with. Police tell us they are called for four things, that they will encounter a person with Down syndrome in four different ways. One is suspicious person in the neighborhood.
Right.
Person's just going out for a walk. Dangerous person in the neighborhood or a store. Someone doing something wrong, like stealing a candy bar or looking at a CD and somebody thinks they're putting it in the pocket or something like that. So suspicious person, dangerous person, someone doing something wrong in a public place. Now the fourth way it sets apart is the missing vulnerable person,
right.
Whether it's a child or a missing vulnerable adult. So that's a little bit separate. But if they're the third one of the first category is person out of control, we need law enforcement help to get them under control. That will often come from a residential setting.
Right.
So what the police know is they're suspicious, they're doing something wrong, they get out of control. We know that's not the case. We know that's really not what's going on. So we need to be very careful and intentional about the training and what message we're giving law enforcement, because they're starting with a blank slate, worse than a blank slate. They have wrong information.
Some predetermined perceptions.
They do. And so we really need to be intentional. And then there's plenty of resources, plenty of things that are good that are going on, but we caution people, do not go out and do a bad training. You need to really think about what you're saying.
Patty, thank you so much for sitting down with me. And I know you have another session coming up, but thanks for your time and thanks for your effort.
Well, thanks for having us and honoring Ethan that I can tell his story again 5 years later to keep it going, keep it fresh in people's minds, the motivation to make some take this on.
Thank you. We'll be broadcasting live.